Well, it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I apologize, you drew the very shortest straw this morning, but we're here and we're gonna get through it. So good to see some familiar faces and some new faces as well. So always good to see some college students. I will say this is the third time I have spoke in a week. At three different congregations, so it'll be nice to kind of have a week off after this. But again, it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and turn into Genesis chapter 1, starting in Genesis chapter 1. But if you don't know me very well, most of y'all do, you know that I love being outdoors. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I like to hike. I really like to play golf. I'm not any good at it, but it's fun to go. I once heard, if you can't enjoy golf in the bad times, you can't enjoy golf at all. But I guess I enjoy torturing myself. But anyways, if it's something to do outside, you're going to find me there probably. You know, about a year ago, my wife and I, we went to Vail. She had a business trip up there at a dairy conference. And I spent a weekend up there with her. And I tell you what, the mountains were just, they were beautiful. You know, it was cold up there. The aspens were turning yellow. The oak brush underneath it was red. And all of these colors were mixed in with the green pines. It was frosty and it was snowing, just downright beautiful. And later in November, my dad and I, we go on an elk hunt, and I know the weather is going to be amazing. And I love the mountains, and it's in the mountains where I see the great beauty of this land and the beauty of God's creation. So I'm going to ask you this morning, where on this earth do you see God's beautiful creation? I know each one of you has a place that comes to mind. Maybe it's like mine. Maybe it's the mountains. Maybe it's somewhere like Vail. Or my parents own a place in southern Colorado. Maybe it's like that. Or maybe for you it's the beach or the desert. Or maybe it's Happy Texas. Whatever it is, there are places that we are surrounded by that make obvious to us the power and the beauty of our Creator. And it seems as though this world is believing less and less in God as time passes. And I believe that the devil is very, very good at helping people to not believe in God. And once man lets Satan into the world, we can see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that he devours them. And that's where we see many doubts and many, many disbeliefs surrounding God arise. One thing is common that I often see is the idea that God could not create the heaven and the earth. And many people out there will believe, and many people out there will tell you that there's no way that a single being could create this earth. Some of you college kids may be experiencing this, but evolution is a very common belief. And I've heard so many people say that man came from monkeys. And of course, they proceed to tell you over the course of millions of years. And the sad thing is that these types of beliefs are taught every day in schools around the world. And these people who believe such things make them sound so logical, but they simply have no backing. Now, I remember having a teacher one time who went to church and claimed to go to church every Sunday, but went to school on Monday and taught a science class about evolution. So I believe that people we refer to as believers still fail to realize that God created the heavens and the earth. And these teachings are now a common thing. And the fact that evolution is being taught so rampantly without much of an outcry testifies to the fact that we as Christians can be adversely influenced by secular education. But the reality of the Bible shows us that these things are simply not true. No asteroid killed the dinosaurs. We didn't come from monkeys. No atom exploded and created this earth. And after spending time in the mountains, and for you, after spending time in the place that you see God's beauty, I see the evidence of my Creator. And I see the things that were made perfect through God. You know, my wife and I had a baby a couple months ago. Think about how babies are born. Did evolution teach them to take their first breath? You know, think about how flowers pollinate, and think about the rain and the snow and the wind, and think about the tides and how the grass grows. there's so many complexities in the ecosystems and species of life that surround us. And all of this points to creation by God nearly 6,000 years ago. As I said, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 1. I want to read through the creation account briefly with you real fast. Starting in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens and separate them day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, I know these scriptures are very familiar to each and every one of us, but I can't help thinking about how this is more than just a Bible story. This that we just read is the truth of how the world that we live on was created. And God created the earth in 6 days. And He rested the seventh day, and that's why it's holy. That's why we're here today. But in all of this, standing up here in front of you thinking, why has the world found disbelief in God creating the heavens and the earth? Why is that? You know, I've pondered on this thought for some time, for many hours, and I think that there's really three common reasons why people do not believe in God's creation. Number one, people place human opinion over biblical fact. Number two, people discount the power of God. And number three, people simply do not look for God. Now, what it really boils down to is that there's the fact that there are many reasons why people don't believe in creation, but what lesson would be good without 3 points? If you've ever preached, you might understand that. But back to number one, people place human opinion over biblical fact. There are many people today that believe the Bible is just some other book, and they don't realize how accurate the Bible really is. My mind is immediately drawn to the book of 2 Timothy, specifically chapter 3. Let's turn over there this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, in this context, when I look at this passage, I believe that Paul is not writing specifically about the New Testament. Now, we know that the New Testament is God-breathed through inspiration of various writers. But at the time, they don't have the combination of the books of the New Testament that we have. But what they do have is the Old Testament. And Paul is saying, hey, look, this Old Testament is breathed out by God. And if it's breathed out by God, that makes the creation account true. And there are many times when Jesus, when Paul, when Peter and others refer to the book of Genesis, and the New Testament as a whole refers to Genesis chapters 1 through 11 in at least 2/3 of its books. But if you jump down to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, chapter 4 starting in verse 3, it says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." So Paul says here in 2 Timothy that there comes a time when people will place their own opinion over the facts of the Bible, over the facts of the Scriptures that we have. And they will say what they want because it makes them feel better and it's what they want to hear. Now, I once heard a story. A preacher got up and preached a lesson, and a lady or man, whoever, came up after the lesson, after services, and said, "My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible doesn't have that passage in it." Well, he got to looking at her Bible, and it was cut out of the pages. She had just taken some scissors and cut it out because she didn't like it. But sometimes we as humans, we get so caught up in knowing all of the answers and wanting to know all of the answers that we don't realize that it's okay to not know all of the answers. And when it comes to our opinions, we should always align them with what the Bible says. Because when human opinion takes precedence over the Bible, I believe that's where Satan digs in very deep. And that's why we see people forming theories on how the world was created. Point number two, people discount the power of God. You know, I grew up on a farm, and I always enjoyed looking at different tractors, the green ones. I never looked at the red ones. But I got pretty good at knowing how many horses were underneath the hoods of certain tractors, what horsepower they had. You know, that's probably the best way that I can relate to the idea of power. But sometimes I really have a hard time fully understanding the power of God. The God that we're talking about is the God who can raise men from the dead, as we see in John chapter 11. He's the same God who split the sea in Exodus 14. It's the same God who struck down Uzzah for touching the Ark of the Covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, when you think of it in those terms, that's a whole lot more powerful than the strongest machine or strongest army we could ever dream up. But God had the power to form this world from a void. He created things from nothing in 6 days. He created Adam and Eve with age. They weren't created babies. They were create men, created man and woman. And He created this earth with age as well. God wiped out everyone but Noah and his family. And we can sometimes get so caught up in ourselves that we forget the powerful and zealous nature of God. And I don't ever want to catch myself thinking that the power of God can reach a limit. Let's turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 30. "For we know Him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.'" And then we'll flip over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33. "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable are His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." And lastly, we'll look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 8. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." So again, let us not get so caught up in ourselves and the things that we have achieved ourselves. You know, I think many times that the U.S. Army might be the strongest army in the world. Yeah, that may be the fact, but it's not the mightiest. You know, many people think that science is flawless. It's not. And I think I'd prefer to trust that I will never understand how powerful God is. And I think that we should reverently observe the power of God, because when we don't, we can put a limit on His power. He is the definition of unlimited power. And He can do whatever He wants. He wanted to create the earth, so He spoke it into existence. And believing in evolution simply shows a lacking ability to recognize the power of God. Point number 3, people do not look for God. So the first 2 points we've looked at, we discussed that people place human opinion over biblical fact. And second, we thought about discounting the power of God. But sometimes I really have a hard time looking for God. But again, I believe there are many ways that we can see the evidence of Him every day. You know, what are some things you can think about? Is it in a rainstorm? Maybe it's the birth of an animal or birth of a child. You know, like I said earlier, I see the evidence of God in the mountains when I go hunt, or just simply spend time sitting out on the porch looking out across the beautiful creation. But I believe that if we look, we can view it in a way that we can see His power and beauty. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 and following. Starting in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O little you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, I know that we see this passage and view this passage as not being worrisome and not being anxious, but reading this passage, it still makes me think of the way that God works. God cares for His creation. He cares for the birds and He cares for the lilies in the field. And it's so awesome to me to know that when we search for God, He is there. There's so many times that people say that they believe in God, but they don't search for Him. And if you don't believe that God created the earth, you will never find Him and you'll never see Him. But because we know that He created this earth, we know that God created the things around us, many of those things can be explained. Have you ever thought of how everything works in perfect harmony? And that's because our Lord, our God, designed it that way. Maybe one day we can help those who doubt to look for God. How would the world look if all of the world realized that God was its creator? And what would it look like if we really knew the power of God? What would our relationship with God look like if we looked for Him every day and His works every day? Because I tell you, it's so hard for me to see the different teachings that are simply not true. Maybe we're called to share the truth about God. Because He did truly make this earth in 6 days, nearly 6,000 years ago. And He has shown and will continue to show us His power if we search for it. As I close this morning, I do want to offer up an invitation for those who have not made the decision to put their Lord on in baptism. Maybe you haven't made that decision yet because you're doubting God. Or maybe you need to know more before you can make that decision. All I have to say to that is that you shouldn't wait. You simply must know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died to save you from your sins. And that's what you need to know. We'll never know all the answers in this world. But if you have any need, if you need the prayers of the church, need to be baptized, please come as we stand and sing.